This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. How many of you know you got a knockout punch today? You got a right cross, so you got a left hook. You've got everything that you need. How many of you know today how to fight these battles? How many of you know you got the victory? You are undefeated. Oh, let me say that again. Some of you think you've been defeated, but you have never been defeated. You might have stumbled, but you have never been defeated. Why? Because you got somebody who's got the knockout punch. So today we invite you to rest. Today we invite you to understand. Today we invite you to a little more knowledge of how the word tells us some things. I know probably everybody in here at one point or another has quoted Philippians 4:13. So just say it if you know it. What does it say? Has anybody ever quoted that before? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, today I want you to understand how you really need to quote it. There's some things in this scripture today. We're going to be talking from Philippians 4, 1 through 13. And God is going to reveal some things to us. So it's on the screen. Mark it in your books. Philippians 4, 1 through 13. And it reads, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Iodas and beseech Syntyche, but that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are what? In the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. I mean, he's right there. He's in the middle of the battle, right? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer and supplication, what? With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then look what happens. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds, what? Through Christ Jesus. And then we continue on in verse 8. It says, finally, brethren, finally, he gives us some instruction. Whatsoever things are what? True. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. That's where we get our rest. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So why? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. One of the most misquoted texts around. One of the most misquoted scriptures around with a different understanding than what it should be. I can do anything I want. You're going to hear it today. You're going to hear it said. The word of the Lord says, joy in the midst, in the middle, in the area of spiritual dysfunction. Joy in the midst of spiritual dysfunction. Well, hear the word of God. Some people believe there is no dysfunction in spiritual things. They'll tell you, not in God, there ain't no dysfunction. Well, in God, there is not. In Jesus, there is not. In us, who are supposed to be spiritual, there is. It does not have to be, But there is. But the reason there is not because of what God's plan is or what he says should be. It's because we have a plan of our own. You can't make this stuff up. You can't make this stuff up. Ask this one about our Sunday school lesson. Why did Nathan have to go see David? Because there was some dysfunction. David, who was a great king, David, who was a very spiritual individual, David, who followed God, David, whose desire was to please God, David ran into some spiritual dysfunction. And Nathan had to go and correct him so that he would be brought back in line with where God wanted him to be. We understand that. We understand that as we approach the season of Lent, we approach the season of the greatest act in history, the greatest act in history where Jesus gave his life and died for us, the greatest act in history. Birth would be the second greatest. The greatest is that he gave up his life for us. As we approach this season, it's a season that we should understand just who God is and what he did and where we are lined up with him. And we should understand that there are some things we can do what? Better. Yeah, y'all know this thing about continuous improvement. Y'all work in companies and they talk about continuous improvement. They used to use the Japanese word ishiban. The Japanese have a concept called ishiban. And ishiban means continuous improvement. They don't reject people. They want you to improve. And that's their whole goal. Ask the people who work in the secretarial pool. They go in the secretarial pool. All the desks are lined up and face the same way. They don't want to fire nobody. They don't want to embarrass the family, so they work on continuous improvement. If you're not doing your job, you come in one day and your desk just turned around. You ain't fired. You can't take it, but your desk just turned around, which means you ain't doing your job. The average number of days to correct the action is 3. They got something right. They can't do that in the United States because guess what? Well, that's embarrassing. Yeah. But what's more embarrassing, to put you out of a job or to correct your actions so that you got a job? Now, it's just a different concept, a different country, different way they do it. But it's all about continuous improvement. We are quick to throw people out of a job. But God will never throw you out of your job. Uh-oh, where's he going with that? God does not want you to lose your job. Y'all know what our job is, right? You know what a job is, right? That's the way out. She says, ask the question, then I don't have to tell him what I know or don't know. But it ain't that easy today. It ain't that easy today. It ain't that easy. What is our job? To glorify the Lord, to do what? To do his will, to be obedient, what? To speak his word. Say that, somebody else. What? To love beyond what we see, right? I'm with Minister Solomon. He's talking about his mother's birthday. 3 days ago was one of my mentors' birthday. God gave me assignment to teach me something. And one of the things he taught me said, when you see something, that's not it. Look beyond what you see. Because the first thing you see is going to be what the world wants to show you. Because God is above and beyond all of that. And so as you learn to look beyond the first thing you see, you'll see the thing of God. He taught me that. She taught me that. I had a job, an assignment. We lived our assignment to the day she left here. But she taught me that. Look beyond what you first see. And then she said, when you do that, she would have been saying this today, you'll find the joy in the midst of the spiritual dysfunction. She said, when you look beyond, you see Jesus. And when you see Jesus, you find joy. When you look beyond, you see Jesus. And when you see Jesus, you find peace. When you look beyond, you see Jesus. And when you see Jesus, you see power. Oh, somebody get this. Somebody get this. When you look beyond, you see Jesus. And when you see Jesus, you see all things. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, let's talk about this word today. What is God saying? The first thing is understanding dysfunction. Dysfunction. Impaired or abnormal functioning. Dysfunction, abnormal or unhealthy interpersonal behavior or interaction within a group. We know what that's like, don't we? Abnormal or unhealthy interpersonal behavior. That's a wonderful term. It talks of intelligence, but it's really simple. I mean, things ain't going the way they need to go. Well, dysfunction is actually a Greek word. It's made up of 2 separate words, made up of function. Function means the acts or operations expected of a person or thing. How many of you know what your function is on your job? They tell you this is your function, right? We call it, it's in the job description. Well, it ain't just in the job description. That's part of it. There are some things you're expected to do beyond the job description. I got any witnesses in here? Any of y'all ever got a cup of coffee for somebody or made a copy for somebody or, you know, had to make an extra phone call for somebody or had to work late and you don't get paid for working late? Or ask a manager. When you become a manager, ain't no such thing as a 40-hour week. If you stick to your 40-hour week and that's it, you fired not too long. Because the expectation is you always will. Ask anybody today, do you work a 40-hour week? No. When they send a text in the middle of the night, guess what? Somebody's expecting it. If the phone rings, somebody's expecting it. So what's your function? Your function is to do whatever it takes for the organization to be successful. Ask Sister Susie and any other teacher. Their function is not just to teach their subject matter. Their function is to love that child, correct that child, teach that child. Hey, my child didn't learn. Well, that ain't my job. I taught it to him. Yes, it is your job. And ask any parent, I sent them to school for you to teach. Well, how can I teach when they're disrespectful? That's your, no, they come here, you need to make that happen. So the function goes beyond what they just say. But thanks be to God, Jesus told us all things. Our function is to glorify him. But then there's a word from the Greek, it says dis. That means abnormal, difficult, impaired, or just flat out bad. Uh-oh, I was so excited. Thank you, Minister Lisa. Thank you. We don't like to call nothing bad. That's not a good word for us to use. Well, did anything God call bad? Did God call anything bad? I got any Bible scholars in here? He called the flesh bad? Somebody go to Proverbs. What does God say in Proverbs? He said there's six things that God hates and seventh is abomination. If he hated, that's bad, right? I'm just in Bible territory now. I'm just in Bible territory now. And then he began to explain those six things that he hates. Go home. It's six things that he hates and seventh is an abomination. So don't tell me we can't call things bad. They are bad. Sin is bad. The person is not bad, but sin is bad. So we need to learn how not to say the word, but to separate the word from the person. Oh, somebody just got delivered. Now, when you see a carjacker or somebody who shoots somebody or murder, I don't care who it is they murdered, they are not bad. They did a bad thing. Christ said, look, he told me when I accepted this call into the ministry, look beyond who the person is and see who they can become with me. Without Christ, ooh, that's bad. With Christ, that's glory. Without Christ, that's bad. Murder, whatever. With Christ, there's redemption. Without Christ, that's bad. With Christ, there's mercy. Without Christ, that's bad. With Christ, there's peace. So you get the message. So there's this dysfunction. This dysfunction that happens among all of us. Among all of us, the church is the biggest challenge to spiritual unity because the church, I'm talking about the universal church of Christ now, the church of Christ, the church that we all are part of, is dysfunctional. I know nobody wants to say it, but it is. It's dysfunctional because we don't focus on Christ, we focus on what we think Christ wants. So you got Baptists over here and Methodists over here and Catholic over here and I don't know over here and whatever we want over here and this one over there. And so the you know what the new thing was, I'm non-denominational. Okay. Are you dysfunctional from the Baptist? No. Because if it's based on the word of God, then we should be in unity, right? Y'all talk to me. Talk. It's okay. It's okay. God's talking. I'm listening. No problem. No problem. So the dysfunction is a spiritual dysfunction that we can't come together. Paul taught on this several times, said, let there be no what? Divisions among you. Because divisions do not represent Christ. Christ is unified. Christ is one. So whether you have a denomination over your head or don't have, if I know that you love Jesus, we brothers and sisters. Somebody get that. So what does he say? Well, the first thing is dysfunction is not Jesus' way. And that's in this scripture here. That's in the word. First thing we see in Philippians, right? We see in Philippians what? 13, 1 through 3. Next slide, Sister Beverly. Thank you. It says what? Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown so steadfast, what? In the Lord, not in you. He said, look, I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche, but that they be what? Of the same mind in the Lord. Are you in the same mind in Christ? Yes, I heard yes. If God is within us and we've accepted the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior and the Holy Spirit lives within us and we let the Holy Spirit speak by the renewing of our mind, then what? We got to be in the same mind. However, when we lose sight of our function, we shift from that mind. Oh, God, well, you can't tell me to do that. God, you would not have me. Oh, yes, he would. I'd be crazy to do that. Oh, yes, he would. Do you not know that somebody is doing something so crazy that makes no sense to us because God told them to do it? If they thought about it with their natural mind, they'd be crazy to do it. There has no benefits to it. There was nothing I would do. Why would I go work a job where they're going to spit on me? Why would I work a job where everybody's always criticizing it against me and then they don't pay? And then you got to listen to people say, well, I wouldn't do that. And every time somebody say, I don't want to do that and they're in your presence, they don't realize they're heaping coals on your head because they're causing you to think about this dysfunction. I must be crazy to work for these kids. I must be crazy to work in an environment they spit on me. I must be crazy to be a nurse or a doctor in COVID times. I must be crazy to think I'm going to work retail. Why do you think so many are fleeing these jobs? Because people telling them they're crazy. But you know what the dysfunction is? They need a job. If this is what God has for them to be at the moment, why would you discourage them to do what God gives them to do? Because of spiritual dysfunction. We're thinking about what we think and not what God wants. He sends us a season to do what he wants us to do. He said, I beseech that be what? The same mind. And he said, I entreat thee also, what? True yoke fellow. Help those women which labor with me in the gospel. With come on. He said, help them. Not be dysfunctional. Help them. What? Their names are what? In the book of life. Now, I got a question. Do you know whose name is in the book of life? Is there anybody here who knows whose name is in the book of life? Other than your own. Thank you. Other than your own. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know your own. But you don't know. You don't know the man who was texting on his phone and caused an accident. Somebody died. Wasn't in the book of life. You don't know the man who got caught up in trying to take care of stuff and end up shooting somebody and now is going to prison for the rest of his life. His name might be in the book of life. Ask Denzel Washington and the role he played. He loved the Lord, but his son needed an operation and they didn't want to give it to him. And in the movie, he said, you're going to do this operation. Y'all can do to me what you want, but you're going to help my son. He says, so these things, you don't have to think. It did stop there. You can go to Deuteronomy 8, 2 and 3. And it says what? And then when they were about to get into the land, he said, thou shalt remember all the way which what? The Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to do what? He said, he led you through the wilderness to what? First, to humble thee. Second, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart. Uh-oh. It was a test to know what? Wouldst thou keep his commandments or no? Do you not know today God is still doing the same thing? He's testing us to understand what's really in your heart. He don't want to know what's up here in your head. He wants to know what's in your heart. Our head can say anything, but what's in your heart will tell you what you will endure. He said what? He said whether you would keep his commandments or no. And he did what? Humble thee. suffered thee to hunger, but then he fed you. He took you to a place where you had nothing. So you had to what? No, to depend on him. Many of us never really been there. We've always depended on what we've been able to do, but have what you can't do. And then know who you have to depend on. I know I got a witness in here somewhere. He said, what? What is that? He said, and suffered thee to hunger and feed men, and thou knowest not. Neither did thy fathers know. What? Look at what it says. That he might what? Make thee know that man doth not live what? By bread alone. But what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. You don't live by what you say, but what the word of the God, the Lord says. He was saying, that's not his way. This is not our way. We belong to God. Dysfunction, division is not our way. And it's one of the reasons we have such little evidence of our power. We get distracted with the dysfunction. But watch somebody walk in the power of the Lord and see what happens. Y'all remember that fairy tale about the Pied Piper? And everywhere he went, he would blow his horn and then everybody followed him. All over the world, everywhere they followed him. Why? Because he was blowing such a beautiful tune on the pipe. The mice and the men and the women and the children, they all followed him. I saw Jesus in that. He wants us to follow him. He gave his life and is playing a melody. Give him praise. I see how I don't get this. I mean, look at this. Because we praise God, we're following the Pied Piper, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Yeah, I'm going with Jesus. They talking Jesus. I'm going with Jesus, y'all. I'm going with Jesus, y'all. I'm going with Jesus, y'all. I'm going with Jesus. Well, but you know, he's just a man. I don't care. I'm going with Jesus, y'all. Isn't that not recorded in the Bible? They went where Jesus was because of what? The things that he did. The peace, the joy, the melody, the song, the deliverance. I'm just amazed at how we love to go for praise and worship. But we don't like to pray. You miss something. You can't want to praise and worship him and not love to pray. They don't line up. Because if you're praising and worshiping to God, he's going to put praying in your heart. Somebody get that. Somebody get that. Hallelujah. I'm just saying. So when we look at that, we also need to go to Ephesians. We go to Ephesians. When you look at the sixth chapter of Ephesians, there's a word in Ephesians 6 and 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be what? Strong in the Lord and what? The power of his might. Not in yourself, the power of his might. But then I want you to understand, why do we have this dysfunction? Verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against what? The wiles of the devil. But in verse 12, he says, look, for ye wrestle not against what? Principalities, against powers, you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We wrestle against spiritual dysfunction. And sometimes spiritual dysfunction don't involve anybody else other than you, or other than me. We get a thought in our head, that sounds good. I'm going to do it. Did God say go? Ask David. After praying, he woke up early in the morning after prayer, after being strengthened, right? David should have been on 10. He was anointed and full, and he saw somebody. And David kicked into spiritual dysfunction. What he saw looked better than what he knew. Ooh. Anybody ever been there, done that? Yes. Shopped at that grocery store? You know, I ain't talking about nobody in here, but you know, and I'm with my fellow brothers and sisters down in the city. You know you ain't got Maggiano's money. And they drop a Maggiano's in the city of Chicago, in the heart of the neighborhood, where folks are barely surviving to pay Maggiano prices. Y'all know that ain't right, right? Yeah. Okay, let me bring it closer to home. You know, in the neighborhood, we like KFC, right? We're in the suburbs now. We don't do that no more, right? Somebody say, man, you done graduated. I understand. But guess what? This is reality. This is spiritual dysfunction at work. They come out here, they advertise a national price for $19.95 meal. And that's what the national price is. Go to the city of Chicago. They charge them $24.99. In the neighborhood where they can't afford the $19.99. That's spiritual dysfunction. And many of them are black owned, doing it to their own people. Well, you know, the crime. Well, I don't care about all that. The price is the price. So why are you going to violate the price? Spiritual dysfunction. We know God is our all in all. He fights our battles. He's able. We know all of this, but yet we're going to do it on our own. The weight isn't there. That's dysfunction, dysfunction. Just got to put truth out there. Dysfunction is not the way of Christ, right? So we understand that. Second point is instructions to be full of joy. He gives us instructions in this passage to be full of joy through what? Obedience. That's what he says. Starting in first one. He said, what? We love it. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say what? To rejoice. What is rejoicing? Celebrating, giving thanks, right? Whatever state said, just give it, rejoice and say, let your moderation be known unto all men. What? The Lord is it. Who are you? Do they know who you are when you walk into their presence? Do they know who you are when you walk into their presence? Do they know who you are when you go to work? Do your neighbors know who you are? Do your enemies know who you are? Let me tell you how it works. Let me tell you how it works. I've got a neighbor four doors down. I might have said in the last 5 years that he's been there, five or six words to him. They don't speak much English. They speak a lot of Spanish. But every time I pass him and his family, we wave. He'll see me stop and let his kids cross the street when they run after a toy or whatever, and I don't complain. The other night about 9:15, it was Wednesday night, 9:15 Wednesday night, I get a doorbell ring. Nobody rings my doorbell that time of night. It's dark outside. You expecting somebody? No? Okay, I'll get it. I open the door, and it's this neighbor. And he said, I don't mean to bother you, but you left your snowblower out here. And I know you wouldn't do that. I'm looking out for you. And I said, well, thank you very much. However, that snowblower doesn't work. I put it out there for the garbage man to pick up and take away. Actually, for the people come around and take the metal away. He said, but I just had to stop because I know that's not like you. And God said, see, I told you we watch for you. So I just bought a new one. And I know it was in the garage, but he was concerned that I left it outside. So God is watching for us because of who we are, even we know. It wasn't about the snowblower. It was about the relationship with my neighbor now. And God has instructed me to do some things for him that we can now have a deeper dialogue. Even though I don't speak Spanish, I'm speaking a language of love. He spoke a language of love. I'm like, God, he said, there's no dysfunction. You're all on one page. He rang, even at that time of night, when it's dangerous to ring on somebody's doorbell. He stopped and said, he stepped back. He said, I'm okay. I just want you to know. And I said, thank you, Lord. And I had a praise party. My wife and I had a praise party. I said, look at God. Could it have happened that I left it out? Of course. But look at God. He says, so be careful for nothing, but in everything. How? By what? Prayer and suffering. But there's a qualifier on it. Not just prayer, with thanksgiving. You got to be thankful no matter what it is you pray. You got to be thankful. How am I going to be thankful when they just took my money? How am I going to be thankful when I'm in pain? How am I going to be thankful they just fired me? How am I going to be thankful they don't like the color of my skin? They don't like what I believe in. How am I going to be thankful for all these things of the world? Don't worry about the spiritual dysfunction. Just follow the instructions. These are instructions here. And he said, and then he said, when you do that, let your request be made to God. Look at what happens. He says that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your mind, what? Through Christ Jesus. Oh, that's some powerful stuff right there. He will keep your mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, brother, whatsoever things are what? True, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are what? Of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. We got spiritual dysfunction because we're thinking about all the other things. What are they doing now? How are they going to do that? Well, my opinion is better than your opinion. My way is better than your way. Your way might be better than mine. If I ain't thinking about Christ, but I'm thinking about Christ, that ain't possible. Ooh, you just got deliverance right there. It ain't you, it's a God. So when you're doing it God's way, ain't nobody's way better. When you're pointing people to Christ, ain't nowhere better. We've had spiritual dysfunction in the church for a long time. Because as a people, we just like the children of Israel. We want a king. Uh-oh, I knew it'd get quiet in here. Churches as a body want a king. They make the pastor the king. And when they make the pastor the king, there's a problem. There's a problem. Your pastor, no matter who they are, how big they are, ought to point you to Christ. And they ought not be in the midst of you seeing them. I said for years, don't look at me, look at Christ. Because you can have a relationship. If it's got to come through me, then there's a problem. There's a disconnect. That spiritual disconnect. It's got to go to Christ. Christ will talk to you just like he talks to me. He might give me a vision. The vision is always Christ, but it's not me. But we want a king. We're taught to have a king. Why do you think CEOs make so much money? They the king. King or queen, okay? They become versus it being God. So that creates this. So say what? Think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard, seeing me do. And then he says, and I put it in purple, and the God of peace will do what? Be with you. He's going to be with you. And then we understand in 1 Peter, when we look at 1 Peter, it says what? He tells them in 1 Peter 5, 6, and I said what? Humble yourselves, therefore, upon who? Not the man, not the king, not the woman, but on what? The mighty hand of God, that he may do what? Exalt you in due time. Yeah. Goes right back to the beginning of this chapter, right? What? Make sure you take care of your fellow bondservant, those who serve with you, casting what? All your care upon him, for he cares for you. If it wasn't for me believing in this and walking in this, I would not have left home this morning with my wife being in pain. Even though we had prayer, the pain had not stopped yet. I would have been right there. Heaven, who cares what would have happened up in here? And it ain't the first time. It's because of being singularly focused on what God. God said, I got that. Go do what I told you to do. God said, I'll work that out. Go do what I told you to do. He might have me in so much pain. You don't know the story. You have no idea. Every word I speak this morning, my mouth hurts. But it doesn't matter because I speak for the Lord and God said, I'll get you through it. Every single word, I'll get you through it. Said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the one who the other fellow trying to, the devil was a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. He can't touch you. He can't harm you, but he can create spiritual dysfunction to distract you. He can't take your life. We know that. We've studied Job. He can't take you out. We know that, because God give you life and God is the one who will call you home in his time. But what he can do is take your eyes off the prize. So now you look at your situation versus looking who delivers you from your situation. Instead of looking up. That's a problem. We are no longer babies. When we're babies, we're curled up. You know, that's what the fetal position is. If any of us want to stay there, oh yeah. Lord, I feel you. Thank you. That's wonderful. God says, stand up. And the reason he stands up, because he teaches you more about who you are. Nobody goes to battle. I don't know. I think I can fight this battle. No, we stand up. All warriors stand up. We're God's warriors. He stands us up. And then he equips us with the weapons of warfare so that we can stand in the midst of the battle. And we declare in the name of God, in the name of the devil, depart from me. Oh, I didn't bring my breastplate. I don't have no spear. No, in the name of Jesus, depart from me. Amen. And the word says what? He will have to flee. Not maybe, he has to. So a couple weeks ago, what? He don't want that butt whipping. That's just the neighborhood of me. I'm sorry, okay. He says what? Be vigilant, whom resists what? Because the adversary, roaring lion, walking about seeking, who resists steadfastly, what? In the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Then in James, he said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, ooh, dysfunction is just the trying of our faith, right? What? Work is patience, but let patience have what? Her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. When we're following the obedience of God, we've got joy. We've got joy. Minister Lisa said something this morning. I it quickened in my spirit. We talk about those are the oldies. Those are the oldies. They're only oldies if you're a youngie. But the oldies stand on the word of God and they still stand. Ask somebody who's 90 years old. They don't think that's an oldie. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. That ain't an oldie. That's current for me. I love the Lord. He heard my cry and pitied my every groan. Long as I live, when trouble rise, what? I'll hasten to his throne. That's an oldie for some, but that's current for me. Why? Because it tells what? Long as trouble rise, I'm still seeking Jesus. Another one, they say what? Before this time, another year, I may be dead and gone, but what? I'm going to let you know before I go what will become of me. So I'm going to let you know, hey, I'm a child of the King. I've been born again. So don't you worry about me because I'm on my way to heaven and I'm glad about it. They had messages and they were powerful messages. The words today have messages and they're powerful messages. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm not going to get to the third point, but I want you to understand something. Joy in the midst of spiritual dysfunction. The highest form of worship, the highest form of worship is not the songs that we sing. The highest form of worship is not the praise that comes when we in the music and in the spirit and we're fellowship. The highest form of worship is our obedience to Jesus. When you obey God, that's worshiping him. When you surrender to God, that's worshiping him. When you don't think nothing for yourself but what God does, that's worshiping him. That's the power of God. I heard this the other day, and I'm like, yep, I've heard it. She said, look, the highest form of worship is our obedience to Jesus. The highest form of worship that Jesus gave to his Father was that he laid down his life. That's what God wants for us, is obedience to him. We're not going to get to point three. But I want you to understand that there's joy in the midst of. Say, dysfunction is not Jesus' way. Instructions what? To be full of joy through what? Obedience. Next week, we'll talk about joy in the midst of spiritual. Not week after next, excuse me. We'll talk about joy in the midst of spiritual. We'll complete this in 2 weeks. Amen. This was just part one. But understand today, God wants you to understand something. Go ahead, Sister Beverly. As we prepare for prayer, we're prepared for some other things. You need to believe for it. She's going to put this song and we'll go through and understand that you need to believe for it. And then we're going to pray. And when we pray, you what? Do you pray doubting? No. You pray believing. Right. So whatever it is, we believe for it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's not there. No problem. It says believe for it. Let me just tell you what the word says. It says believe for it. It says what? They say this mountain can't be moved. They say these chains will what? Never break. They don't know you like we do because there is power what? In your name. We've heard that there is no way through. We've heard the tie what will never change. They haven't seen what you can do. There is power what? In your name. So much power in your name. Move the unmovable, break the unbreakable. God, we believe for it. From the impossible, we'll see a miracle. God, we believe. God, we what? Believe for it. We know this hope is never lost. For there is still what? An empty grave. He said what? God, we believe no matter what. There is power in your name. So do what? Move the immovable, break the unbreakable. God, we believe. God, we from the impossible, we'll see a miracle. God, you are the way when there seems to be no way. We trust in you. God, you have the final say. Your neighbor, your job, your boss, they don't have the final say. God has the final say, and we believe for it. God, we believe it. God, we believe it. You said it. We believe it. We believe it. We believe it. Why do we believe it? Jesus came down here on earth. Why do we believe it? Jesus walked and performed miracle after miracle. Jesus transformed lives over and over and over and over again. Why do we believe it? When we prepare to take the Lord's Supper today, we believe it. Why? Because Jesus got up with all power. Jesus got up and declared the victory. They say, oh, we got him now. He's dead until. No, Jesus got up. And because he got up, we're here today. Because he got up, he changed our lives. Because we got up, he took us from beggar to heir. Because he got up, he took us from one with no power to all power in the name of Jesus. Because he got up, we shall never die. Because we got up, the world sees one thing, but we look beyond what they see. I don't know what your plans are. And what you've told your family or whoever's over your affairs, what they're supposed to do when they roll you in here. I don't know what your thought process is of how you want to be celebrated. I don't know who you want to sing. I don't know what song you want to sing. I don't know. But people spend countless hours and things to make up those arrangements the way they think it. But I invite you to do one thing that most people don't do. Ask God what should be done. Because the only thing that will yield what he wants is for you to listen to what he says. You might have a song because that's your testimony. He might give another song that's going to be a testimony for somebody else. So ask God. Well, this is what. Ask God what it's supposed to be. Because the reality is, make sure they know one thing. This ain't me. You see what you think is me. You think this is me, but this ain't me. I only got one requirement. Lord, speak your truth, because this ain't me. They need to know what it might look like, it might feel like, it might touch a little bit cold, but this ain't me. That was a temporary. Anybody ever had bridge work done? They put on a temporary crown. They do what they got to do, and they put a temporary until the permanent one come in. So while you're on the temporary, you can't eat what you used to eat. You can't talk like you used to talk. You can't handle cold or hot like you used to handle it. But when they put that permanent one on, all is well. Well, guess what? This is temporary. But when I get my permanent where I'm going to be, all is going to be well. I can't sing down here, but I'm going to sound like a mockingbird up there. I can't keep tune down here, but I'm going to be right on beat up there. I'm on a high note when there should be a low note, the middle note when it should be a high note. But when I get up there, ain't nobody going to tell me that I can't sing, because I'm going to sound like it's music to my ear, because I'm going to sing my Savior, and he's going to transform this poor voice into a wonderful voice. Oh, and every now and then, I get it right down here, because his grace is sufficient. His mercy is sufficient. Ask my children and say, Daddy, I don't know what you do when you do a funeral, but God gives you grace in your voice that the people say is all right. But when you sing at home, shut it up. But I thank God for the every now and then. Every now and then, somebody's comforted. Every now and then, somebody knows Jesus. Look beyond what you see and see Jesus. Don't see me, see Jesus.